The reading is from Exodus chapter 20, page 68 in the Pew Bibles in the Old Testament. Beginning at verse 8, Moses and the Israelites received the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you that we can come together this morning to worship, to remember, and to hear and listen. Listen to you, your word. May we be challenged afresh by your Holy Spirit, and also comforted that we may know more about your love and your truth for our lives and our witness. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm fascinated by quirky names for pubs. All sorts. Wills and Nats. Many of you will know is a moorland hostelry above Meltham. I think named after a landlord there long ago. And then there's the Silent Woman. At Slathwaite. There aren't many of them in us. I couldn't spell oxymoron anyway. Oxymoron. It's nothing to do with being rude. And then there's a pub near my brother's house in Tumbledon called The Swan with Two Necks. And it's adorned with a picture, rather gruesome thing, but, you know. I thought swans were dangerous enough with one neck, never mind two. But apparently, it's to do with an incident way back in Queen Elizabeth's first time, as we know, swans crown property. But she gave some away, just a few. And to designate those particular swans, they had two nicks on their necks. And over the years, it's been corrupted. Perhaps one of the longest names is enjoyed by a pub in Staley Bridge, not far away, called the Old 13th Cheshire Astley Volunteer Rifleman Corps Inn. And the sign takes up the whole of the pub frontage. Far more emotive for me are a handful of inns, usually in remote locations, called Rest and Be Thankful. The most famous being in the pass of the same name in the Trossachs in Scotland. Named by the builders of General Wade's military road, which crosses the mountains at that point. and quoting, apparently, a phrase by the poet William Wordsworth. Rest and be thankful could be the subtitle of this talk, the latest in our series on Christian life, Going for God, Living Like a Christian. And today's subject is faith and rest. Rest and be thankful. We can and most certainly should be thankful that God, from the very start, designated both ourselves and all of his creation to take and benefit from necessary rest and recuperation. That was part of his creation, as Genesis records. Now, the need for this rest is obvious. Yet, an awareness of its importance has perhaps never been as pressing as in our modern 24/7 world. We live today at breakneck speed, rushing here, there, and everywhere, seemingly forever chasing our tails. And that's supposed to be retirement. Despite having labour-saving gadgets, such as our grandparents could only have dreamt of, and communication devices that many of us are yet to come to terms with, do pray for Alpha on Saturday, please. Despite those things, we're part of a society ravaged by exhaustion and burnout as we attempt to cram yet more activity into our already overcrowded lives. The material rewards and advantages are many, yet spiritually, most of us are blearily impoverished. And I have to say that the church is not exempt, not by a long chalk, or should that possibly in this digital day and age be a cursor. We have to be careful about not just clergy, not just the professionals who are thin on the down and getting thinner. I'm talking about the church, but of course this goes for many of our society institutions. But everyone, blearily impoverished. It's noticeable that Jesus himself, at key moments in his life, made time for quietness, drawing away from the crowds, spending time alone in the hills so that he could focus on the presence of God the Father, away from the innumerable pressures and demands put upon him. Of course, this isn't always easy for us as it wasn't for him. There is need to prioritize, to organize, plan ahead, something apparently I'm not very good at doing, to make difficult and often misunderstood decisions, like when to say no or not yet, for the greater good of our lives, our balance of life, our physical, our mental health and well-being, and for the betterment of our Christian witness and ministry. I'll say that again. Rest is so crucial and important for the betterment of our Christian witness and ministry. As was clearly and objectively taught by Jesus in the controversy about the Sabbath in all the Gospels, as we read about Jesus and his touring around with the disciples, and of course, coming up against those who wanted to ask the awkward questions in order to trap him, often about the Sabbath and his attitude to it. In reply and in response to those naughty sort of maneuverings, Jesus showed that God is concerned about meeting human need far more than protecting religious rules or pandering to popular expectations. Alec Mattia has written that the fourth commandment, which Mary read as slightly edited versions of the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20, the fourth commandment is preeminently a call for the obedience of faith, the assumption that God is pleased with and looks after those who put him first by acknowledging that he wants the very best for us. In other words, it's part of our worship, folks. It's part of our adoration of our God and what he's done for us in Christ. All that, you know, those benefits of Christ's passion, which come to us graciously, freely. And how do we respond? Well, part of that response should be this looking after ourselves, because that's what he wants. Why? Because he loves us. Am I alone in seeing significance in the word recreation as being in some sense recreation? I was talking in the coffee break to somebody about this very thing, and they said, I've never ever thought of that before. The Sabbath, or the seventh day, if you will, was used by the Creator God to take delight in what he has made and goes on making, recreating. He willed this clearing a space as part of his creation because he loves it, knows it, and cares for it. Loves us, knows us, and cares for us. That's why the space for rest is special, because you and I are special in God's sight. He wants to lead us to places of rest that refresh our souls. Jesus called the weary and the burdened to come to him for rest. And he makes space for his disciples to get that rest, so that we may function at our best for his sake. I said the church is not exempt from rushing about, chasing its tail, cramming so much in. Of course there's more to do. There's always more to do. And I was only thinking earlier, you know, about so many times in my ministry when I could have done more, and goodness me. But guilt about slacking or failing to be driven enough to earn God's approval seemed to me to be misplaced and dangerous and surely unbiblical. As a raw ordinand, way back, must be 45 years ago, I remember with a shudder an incumbent I was sent to. Mercifully only for a weekend, who exulted in being a workaholic, eschewing such fripperies as holidays and days off and the like. Weaknesses of the unsound and less than committed Christian. He taught me so much of great and lasting value, though in no way would he have recognized it or approved of it. I knew then that that was not the way to go. Not the way to honor God, certainly not to sustain a ministry. Another phrase that comes to mind with this subject is rest in the Lord. And some of you will already be humming a tune as I say that phrase. Rest in the Lord in the sense of experiencing the deep joy and peace that God gives to those who love and obey him regardless of circumstances. Now, this attitude is to be found in all of Scripture, but perhaps one place to look is Psalm 37, which has inspired musicians and librettists down the ages. Oh, rest in the Lord. Put our trust in him. Commit your ways to him. It's essentially about putting yourself in the safety and security of the Lord, taking delight in his faithfulness. Resting in the Lord in this way is about being open to all that the Spirit longs to give us and show us. Ready and more than willing to receive yet more of God's grace. So it's not a passive thing. Really, resting in the Lord is being secure, knowing that you're safe, safe to receive more. It's like a child, a baby, in a parent's arms. Safe in the knowledge and the warmth of knowing there's more love, so much more love yet to come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Says our Lord and Saviour. On this Remembrance Sunday, we recall the innumerable war graves and memorials across the land and in foreign fields, which have another phrase engraved upon them: rest in peace. Now, as a nation, today we are called upon to remember the sacrifice and cost of so many who have lost their lives in war and violence. War and violence that is the very negation of what God, the good creator, wants for his creation. And they did this. They went there, and many didn't return home, so that we might have freedom. With heads bowed, we can only commend them, as we have done in this service, commend them into God's peace and eternal Sabbath. Last week, Jill and myself visited the ends of the earth. No, we really did. As the Portuguese have it. Geographically, the Cape of St. Vincent on the southwestern tip of Europe, just offshore the Battle of Trafalgar took place and all the rest of it. The Atlantic waves are crashing in against the jagged rocks as you looked over in trepidation. And that particular day, no doubt most days, a sea spray was towering as high as the tops of the cliffs. Now, actually, we were staying on our holiday at the other end of the Algarve, near the Spanish border, where the Europe and Africa start to come together. And we were looking across towards the coast of North Africa, across the Straits of Gibraltar. And there the sea was a contrast with the unchanging Mediterranean that we've seen before and enjoyed on previous holidays. Unchanging in that there's virtually no tide at all in the Mediterranean. What a contrast with the Cape of St. Vincent. I've been reading a study in Ephesians by F.B. Meyer, who was a celebrated preacher and writer a century ago, often speaking at the early meetings of the Keswick Convention. On Ephesians 3, verse 19, a verse about the love of Christ, he writes this: "We can count on being filled up to the measure of the fullness of God. The Mediterranean is continually losing volume by evaporation, and yet is always full, because it can draw by the Straits of Gibraltar on the Atlantic. And its gentle tidelessness may well become the emblem of the peace and restfulness of the soul that has learned the secret of taking into itself the blessedness of Jesus." It's a lovely picture that we can never experience the end of God's grace. There isn't an end. Even in us, especially in us, our souls, our thirsty souls, for more of God's love. Always we should be topped up by the vastnesses of all that God is and wants to give to us. Rest in the Lord and be thankful for his inexhaustible grace and peace in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, on this special day, this day for reflection, this day when we think a little bit about what life is truly worth, what it's truly, its purposes. Lord, turn our thoughts to Jesus. May we find in him a restfulness which isn't negative, which isn't passive, but which longs to be filled with more of your love. Lord, enable us to rest in our Saviour, in his peace, and know more of his love. Amen.